All right. Well, we are in our second week in this sermon series that we kicked off last week, looking at the book of Acts. We're calling this Outward Acts. Our key verse in this is Acts 1:8. And we looked at that many times. It really sets a framework for the entire book of Acts. We'll put that up here on the screen. You can look it up in your Bibles as well just to see it and be reminded. We're going to be in Acts 2 today, but Acts 1:8 is for sure an intro into this whole series when it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so here's the big idea of this whole, really the whole series. After the Holy Spirit impacts your life, you move outward to impact the lives of other people. That's pretty simple, really. I mean, for me, my challenge is to make this interesting for 5 weeks. Because it's the same idea over and over and over again. This is the normal Christian life. This isn't the life for go workers like the Rashers that we just acknowledged. This is not just for people that are on staff at a church. This is the normal Christian life that God has designed. And basically, the book of Acts continues to live it out. So the early church lived this, and we want to live it. So what happened to them when they were impacted by the Holy Spirit? We want that. How did that change their attitudes and their prejudices? We want that to happen to us. How did they live with a new, all-consuming purpose? We want that to happen to us. And so we're talking about it in our G2s. We're looking at it into the scriptures. We're asking everybody in our church to buy into this idea and this vision for how God would use us in our community to love other people, to share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ to them so that they can be in God's family with us. That's the whole idea of this whole thing. So we're going to continue the story today in Acts chapter 2. After Jesus told the disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit. That's what he told them in Acts 1. Wait for the Holy Spirit. He's coming. Stay in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. That's what they did. They waited. For 7 to 10 days, they waited. Sitting around, looking around. When's it coming? Because they didn't know. That sets up then what's going to happen now in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and now I'm all thrown off. Pamphylia, thank you. Egypt, I got that one, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking them, saying, "They are filled with new wine." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, the impact that you made upon these men was profound. And we want to understand how this act affects our lives today. We want to know how this affects us individually. And I know that for every person here, you have a message for them today. And I pray that as I'm speaking, your spirit would bring specific direction, conviction, illumination to your word today. And I also ask that we as a church would understand how this will move us forward to be living our lives in this community. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So this passage reveals three truths about God's power. So I'm going to show you those three truths today and illustrate them and explain them. The first truth about God's plan is this: God's plans require God's power. Just imagine how hard it would have been for those disciples to sit around and wait for those 7 to 10 days after they saw Jesus ascend up into heaven on a cloud. Can you put yourself in their shoes for a second? They were pretty pumped up. I mean, Jesus had died about 40 days prior to that moment. But then he rose from the dead. Then Jesus explained how everything in the Old Testament pointed to him, and their minds were like exploding with understanding. Everything pointed to him, he said. This would be like winning the Super Bowl, the power lottery, and getting married all on the same day. It is a good day. And then Jesus said, "You're going to go and tell everybody about this. You're going to show it and tell it. You're my witnesses. But don't start yet. You got to wait." So day one. Can you imagine those conversations? "Hey, anything happened to you?" "No, nothing happened to me either." Day two, waiting all day. "Is this it? Anybody feel anything? Anybody see anything unusual?" Day two ends. Nothing. "Man, what about day three? Man, how long are we going to have to wait for this thing? We're ready to go." Can you imagine if the disciples came up with a plan on their own before the Holy Spirit came? Like, what would that have looked like? "Hey, Peter, you're really good at talking. Why don't you go out to those steps and like you just start talking to people about the things that Jesus told us? And James and John, you guys are really bold. You guys go into the marketplace and, you know, get a bunch of people in there so they can hear Peter talking. And Matthew, you have a history in finance. So why don't you, when the right moment comes, you take up an offering." I mean, can you imagine how disastrous that plan would have been? I mean, I wonder how often, though, Christians and churches fall into the enticement of trying to do God's plans in human power. It'll never work, because God's plans always require God's power. And the disciples had zero ability to speak in a foreign language that they did not know, yet they did it. That required God's power. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John had zero ability in and of themselves to heal the lame man, yet they did it. That required God's power. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles were healing people and driving out demons. They didn't have the ability to do that in their own strength. That required God's power. In Acts chapter 5 later, the apostles, they got arrested, thrown in jail, and then an angel broke them out of jail. They couldn't have broken themselves out of jail. Again, that required God's power. And it all happened because it was God's plan. The pattern repeats itself all through the book of Acts. It's the same pattern. Christians were impacted with the power of the Holy Spirit. And as they witnessed about Jesus, God's power was focused and manifested in their activities. See, that's what we want too, isn't it? We do not want to be a church like A.W. Tozer described in the 1950s. Imagine, this is what he wrote then, and it, I think, still applies today. If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everyone would know the difference. And so Foothills Bible Church is dedicated to living out God's plans, dependent on God's power being in it, and trusting that the Holy Spirit will empower us every step of the way. This is part of God's big plan for your life. And it's how we change the lives of the people around us. It's not us, it's Him. That's the first truth about God's plans we see here. Here's a second. God's plans are strategically sophisticated. Strategically sophisticated. That's 9 syllables. Whenever preachers choose words that have 9 syllables that they're going to repeat a lot, that there's a lot of intentionality to that. I did not casually pick those words. It's hard to say those words over and over. Yet I am going to say them over and over because it makes the point. This is a big deal. My hope is in about 10 minutes, when I'm done explaining this part of the sermon, your mind is going to be blown. This is my favorite part of this whole sermon right here. I'm going to tell you that right now. Verses 9 through 11 lists out the specific places of all of the dispersed Jews that were mentioned. We got a map for you up here on the screen. I stumbled over a couple of the places. That does not mean I don't know what these places are. I thought about it a lot, actually, this week. So if you look over to the far right of the map, the far east of it, you have Parthia. That's the farthest edge, right? Then you have the area of Turkey, which is, you know, Asia Minor at that time. That's where the Apostle Paul later traveled. So there's a bunch of places listed there. You also have down in the southern part, on the bottom, you've got Egypt, Libya, and Cyrene. So people from there are also in Jerusalem. And if you go all the way over to the left-hand side of the map in the top corner, you have Rome to the farthest western edge, right? Now, look how strategically sophisticated God's plan was to immediately spread the name of Jesus to the entire known world at that time. Day one of the Holy Spirit coming, impacting the disciples, they start speaking and the entire known world is impacted immediately. Are you seeing how sophisticated and amazing that plan is? I have more. I'm not sure I'm getting the vibe that you're impressed yet. If the disciples had come up with a plan, their own brainstorming plan, they're sitting around and they're like, okay, Jesus said we're supposed to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. What would that brainstorming session have sounded like? Probably it would have sounded like what we would have sounded like if we were in a brainstorming session like that. Okay, he said Jerusalem. How long will that take? Any ideas? Maybe a few years? Let's saturate Jerusalem. That's going to take a while, though. Then we'll start on Judea. That's supposed to be next. So maybe, 5 years or so? We can start there. It's going to take us, though, a while maybe another 5 years or so to spread the word through Judea. Now, okay, what about Samaria? That's the next ring moving outward. Oh man, that's going to be tough, right? Because we got a lot of prejudices between us and the Samaritans. We should probably do some studies on interracial witnessing. Let's send some funding to that so that we're really prepared and thoroughly trained so that we can go to that region. That's going to take a while, but you know what? That's like 10, 15 years from now, so that'll be fine. We'll get to it when we get to it. All right, ends of the earth. Have any of us even left this region of the world before? Any of us ever? No, they had not. Does anybody have any idea about how to go to the ends of the earth? No, we do not. So if you're in brainstorming sessions like that, you get to a place like this, you usually say something like, well, that's so far in the future. Let's deal with it at the next meeting. For now, we've got Jerusalem. Look, God has never been and never will be limited by his ability to implement a strategy that is so sophisticated it will blow our minds. Isaiah 55:9 tells us, God himself says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's plans to reach the known world was accomplished in a dramatic way on day one of the gospel being proclaimed. Now, obviously, we understand that the world was bigger than that, but that was all they knew of the world at that point. And the gospel has been continuing to spread through the world ever since. This is a plan the disciples could have never come up with. See, the disciples' role was fairly simple. Allow themselves to be impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit and then simply move outward to show and tell about it. And God took care of the details of all of the rest. God had an amazing plan. You know, it reminds me of, let me just tell you why this is so encouraging to me. Because we never know how our witness for Jesus is going to be used by God. And so a story that I heard this week illustrates this. It's a story between two men, a guy named Mark and Billy. They became friends at Fort Carson. Mark was a Christian, Billy was not. And during their time there, Billy learned how to ski, and he went one time to snow ski with his new friend Mark. They were basically just acquaintances with one shared experience. Then, coincidentally, sovereignly by God, both of them get transferred to a military base in Germany. And Mark invites his friend Billy to come on a ski retreat over in Switzerland. And Billy says, yeah, I'd like to ski the Swiss Alps. That sounds awesome. I'll go. And what Billy didn't know is that this was a Bible conference. So they were going to ski some and learn some things about the Bible. Billy was not seeking for God. He just wanted to ski. And Mark didn't know Billy very well. Mark had never talked to him about deep things. They had not talked about God. Mark only invited Billy to come because they had a common interest in skiing together. But see, what neither of them knew, God knew. God had a very sophisticated plan that he was putting together. He was working this thing out. God used Mark's invitation to Billy so that Billy would hear the gospel at that conference. Billy surrendered his life to Jesus at that ski conference. That was 30 years ago. Shortly after the ski conference was over, Mark was transferred to another base, and these two men lost touch completely. Nothing more than a passing acquaintance. As the years went by, Billy couldn't even remember the name of the guy who invited him to the conference. Billy got very active in a Bible study, decided he wanted to attend Colorado Christian University, started attending Foothills Bible Church, became a volunteer with Ken Kelly in the student ministries, and then joined the Foothills staff. Many of you know and have figured out who I'm talking about already. Billy is one of our pastors, Billy Brand. Now, here's the rest of this little story. About a month ago, hold on, Billy and Mark, they reunited for a breakfast together in Michigan. And Billy was sharing with Mark over breakfast how God had changed his life through him and that ski conference. And he's just telling him the whole story of how God has changed his life. And Mark's eyes are filling with tears as they're eating breakfast together. He never knew that God had big plans for Billy's life. And he did not know that God's big plans for Billy's life included him giving a simple invitation to another friend to go ski at a conference together. Look, God's always working his sophisticated, complicated, mind-blowing plans as we interact with other people. We just don't see them. So look, don't give up on anyone. Ask them again. Ask them again. Ask them again. I've heard so many stories in the last couple of months where somebody was like, well, you know, my so-and-so invited me to church and I had no interest to go to that church at all. I didn't like God. But you know what? They asked me again. And I told them no again. And then they asked me again. And like on the fifth or sixth time, this one guy was telling me, he finally said, fine, I'll just go. And I think basically he went just to get somebody off his back. You never know how God's going to work. Keep loving people. Keep showing and telling how the Holy Spirit has impacted your life, and God will work it out in somebody's life in some way. You will be an impactor on somebody in your business, your neighborhood, your family. God's going to work it all out together. It's all his plan, and he's working it. We just don't get to see it all the time. You know, I mentioned maybe a month and 2 months ago about these blue bags that we're giving to inmates that have been released from prison. They're coming right as they're coming out of prison. Some of them have literally nothing. We put these bags together filled with a bunch of things that would be really helpful to them. And the heart behind it is that we want them to know that God has a plan for their life and that he loves them. We don't know these people. We don't know what they've done. But we can show them the love and the hospitality and the grace of God by a simple, tangible object with some gift cards, some truths about Jesus, and some practical things that they're going to need immediately. Now, let me tie this back to Acts chapter 2. I get the impression you were not as impressed with the geographical spread on the map as I wanted you to be. So I'm going to take it up a notch. All right, can we get that map? Do we have just the map? Just the plain map? Okay, there's the map. Here's the question that I ask myself. Why were these Jews dispersed to all of these areas? Why weren't they living in Jerusalem? So I had to do a little research. I didn't know the answer to that question. So here's the answer. In the 700s BC, the Assyrians conquered Israel and sent people over to Partha and Media. The vast majority of those Jews never returned. In the 500s, the Babylonians conquered Israel and sent people to the area of Mesopotamia and Elam. The Old Testament book of Ezra describes the return of some of those Jews back to Jerusalem, but many of them stayed. Then in the 100s, like 100 to 0 BC, Jews migrated to Africa, Asia Minor, Crete, and Rome. Do you know why? Economic hardship and civil wars. So whenever people could return back to Jerusalem for special festivals and feasts, they would return back. Pentecost was one of those times. That's what we're reading about right here in Acts chapter 2. But what none of them knew, God knew. God had a very sophisticated plan that he was working out here. It was a plan that had started 700 years ago to spread people all over the known world, knowing that a time was coming when the Holy Spirit was going to come and he was going to have people reunited back into Jerusalem, but then go back to their homes all over the known world, taking the name of Jesus Christ with them when they went. See, nobody could have strategized a 700-year plan like that, could they? Are you with me yet? Like, is that amazing? I mean, at best, my strategic plans are like a year. Maybe 2 years. Businesses are like shrinking their strategic plans down to smaller windows of time because there are too many variables that start to change 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years out. A 700-year strategic plan? Are you kidding me? Who plans like that? God plans like that. And see, God's heart behind this plan shows how important it was for him that everyone hear this message. Everyone. Is that happening on your street? At your office, at your school. See, your purpose in life is not just to be a CEO or to be a mom or to be an artist or whatever your little purposes is. Your big purpose is to carry the name of Jesus Christ to the whole world. And you might think, well, I don't have access to the whole world. That doesn't matter. You live faithfully wherever you are and whatever God's calling you to do, and God will take care of the bigger plan. See, Denver is a city that's changing, isn't it? Our culture's changing, teams change, schools change, resorts change. We're becoming a stronger influence in the world. Many people in this area have an attitude of annoyance to the increased traffic jams, too many people in the stores. I've said it. Man, I've got so many theories about how the state should make better traffic flow on I-70 going into the mountains. I told you last week, sometimes I can get too opinionated. There's another topic if you want to just see me get a little, you'll get glassy-eyed. You're like, oh, Sean, why do you do that? All right, look. We can get annoyed, or we could view that through a lens of faith and say, oh my, look at what God is doing here. It's a shift in perspective. God has placed us in a location with more people coming here. Well, are we going to complain about it and just get mad and try to find another remote place that used to be like the good old days of like Denver? Or are we going to leverage our lives for a bigger cause to carry the name of Jesus Christ? I was doing a little research. Sterling Ranch is obviously being built down on sort of the south side of 470, not too far from our church. They estimate that 33,000 people will live in just that one community. Imagine how we could be an impactor on those people. That's just one spot. New people are coming to this area all the time. And I believe God will use us and include us in his God-sized plans. See, the point isn't for us just to sit around and strategize about it. I don't think that's a bad idea. But it's more important for us to live as a witness for him. With everybody we bump into, everyone we're around, we show and we tell, and then he will spread it through the world according to his very, very strategically sophisticated plan. That's the second truth about God's plan. Here's the third. God's plans are noticeable. God is a very interesting person. He is fascinating to study. The layers of his character and the complexities of who he is, they are fascinating. But it's not only about studying God. It's not only about theology. When the Holy Spirit impacts you, you will be changed. He changes you. Not just in our minds, he changes our very hearts. See, in verses 3 and 4, the Holy Spirit impacted the disciples. They were filled, and then they began to speak in a language they had not known before. That was a noticeable change, wasn't it? I mean, the reactions that are described, people were bewildered, they were amazed, they were astonished, and then it says again, they were amazed and then perplexed. Like, what does this even mean? How are these people being able to do this? Look, God was moving his plan forward after he had impacted his followers with his power. It was his spirit inside of them, and it was noticeable. Look, you can't hide the impact of the Holy Spirit on your life. Some other examples in the book of Acts, if you look later in the book of chapter 2, Peter preaches to a crowd of thousands, and 3,000 of them get saved. That's noticeable. In Acts chapter 6, some people rose up and were disputing with Stephen, and they could not withstand the wisdom of Stephen or the spirit with which he was speaking. It was very noticeable to them. There's something different about Stephen. He's not the same guy he was before. Chapter 8 in Acts. People believed when they heard Philip preach. They were amazed by the signs and the great miracles that were being performed. It was very noticeable. And it's even more impactful and remarkable when you think about the backstory of these disciples. Peter claimed that he did not even know Jesus 50 days back from Acts chapter 2. So I did a little math. I looked at the calendar. Today is September 16th. 50 days ago would have been July 28th. Peter went from denying Jesus on July 28th until today. Now he's preaching boldly and 3,000 people get saved. That's a pretty small window of time. That's a noticeable change in a person's life. Stephen and Philip, I mentioned them. They were hiding with the rest of the disciples when Jesus was crucified. They were scared. They're in a little room, very private. Close the doors, close the blinds, don't make any noise. We don't want anybody to know we're here. Shh, hide. Well, so that was roughly 2 to 3 months from Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 8. So they went from being terrified to being wise and bold. That's a significant change. See, you never know the big plans that God has for you and for others. We don't know that, but we can anticipate that it will include noticeable change in our lives. For us, what noticeable changes should we expect in our lives? Well, I think the answer could be long, and I don't have that much time, but so what I want to focus on is just our character. For a moment, you can look at Galatians chapter 5 and see the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit were the character qualities of Jesus. And when you're impacted by the Holy Spirit, those character qualities ought to be seen. They ought to grow in your life. So maybe you naturally struggle with anxiety or stress. As you are impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will grow in contentment and peace. People are going to notice that. Maybe you naturally struggle with pride. You think your ideas are the best. Well, as you're impacted by the Holy Spirit, you're going to grow in humility. And people are going to notice that. Maybe you naturally struggle with insecurity. You think you're awkward, unattractive, dumb, unlikable. I mean, you've got your list of things. As you're impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will grow in confidence, understanding the truth that Jesus sees you with great dignity, and he has made you in his image, and he loves you unconditionally. As that sinks into your heart and your soul, you will change. People will see that, and they'll say, oh, you're different. They'll notice it. Our attitude toward others will become more gracious, like Jesus. Our interest in the lives of others will grow and will be less interested in ourselves. And as we share about how Jesus has impacted and changed our lives, others are going to be changed as well. They're going to be inspired. They're going to be convicted. And they're going to be converted. People we've known for years should say to us, and maybe they don't say it, maybe they think it, you know, you're not the same person. You're different. It's not just that your schedule is full of so many Christian things. You are a different person. I see it in your attitude, in your reactions. All right, now look, I've spent this whole sermon showing you these three examples of how God's plans move out in outward impact. Now, here's what I want to end with. I want to end with the first step. It's the idea of being impacted by the Spirit, right? All I've been talking about is the outward movement today, because that's where we are in Acts chapter 2. But you cannot skip the impact on a person, because you cannot be a witness without experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. We're all talking about God's plans and being witnesses, but we got to talk for a second about the impact on us. Now just imagine, I have a different impact to talk to you about for just a second. Imagine you were at the Broncos Stadium last Sunday. Opening day, exciting game, right? Come from behind, victory, nail biter. You would be impacted by that experience, wouldn't you? That was pretty awesome. So you'd talk about it with people. If you were there last week, don't tell us. We don't want to know. That's fine. We'll be jealous. But if you were there, you would have talked about the game to people in your neighborhood, people in your workplace. You would have talked about it, even if they weren't Bronco fans. If somebody said, hey, you know what? I don't really care about the Broncos. Say, I don't really care. From my seats, let me tell you what I could see. You might have been inspired by the way they handled adversity in that game. It was not a perfect game. You might have been inspired how they kept going against hardship, and you might have even applied that to your own life and thought, you know what? I need to keep going in this area of my life. You might have been inspired by their game. You might have even gone to buy a jersey with somebody's name on the back. You're searching on Amazon. I'm going to buy myself a jersey. You were impacted by the experience. And it's natural to both show and tell when we have been impacted by something significant. It's the same and more with the Holy Spirit. See, the more you are impacted by him, the more you're naturally going to show and tell about him. So it's good for you to be here today, because you're putting yourself in a spot where you can be impacted by the truth of God's word, and the Holy Spirit might change your heart, your mind, your thinking. It's good for you to meditate on God's word. It's good for you to listen to the Bible as you drive on your commute to work. It's good for you to be in a G2. It's good for you to listen to worship music throughout the week. It's good for you to listen to sermons, read Christian books. It's good for you to set aside time during your prayers when you can just get everything off your heart and mind and then just be quiet and listen. It's good for you to get alone on a mountain trail talking to God. It's all good for you because you're putting yourself in a spot to be impacted by the Holy Spirit in a fresh way. And when that happens, you will naturally show and tell about that impact to other people. You will naturally become a witness for him. And man, the outward effect will have God's power. It'll have his sophisticated strategy as part of it, and it will also show a noticeable change from your life. I long for this in my life. I long for this in all of your lives because it's the best thing for you. And I long for this also for us collectively because as a church, when we are living like that, we are right where God wants us to be changing the lives of other people for the fame and the glory and the name of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads together? Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful for your word, the power of it, the truth of it, the way you direct us, the way you realign us. And Lord, we confess that we often live too selfishly. It's too much about me. It's too much about my stuff. It's too much about my control and my comfort. And Lord, we want to just confess all that and leave that behind and cast that aside. And we just want to be 100% all about you. Would you reorient our hearts today? Would you do a deep and powerful and awesome work in us as the first step, so that we can be a part of that next step with you? Lord, your plans are glorious and mind-blowing. Thank you for including us to be part of them. Thank you for meeting with us today. We all pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's sing together.